So Jesus said, blessed is he who is not offended because of me, who is not caused to stumble because of me. That when the sufferings and the trials come, that this person will not fall away because of me or my words. Because again, blessed, that person will be happy if they endure to the end. If they suffer for him, then they will reign with him. If they are part of the fellowship of his sufferings, then they will be glorified with him at the day of rewards when they're given out. Remember the 12 apostles, well, one betrayed him, but the 11, they were warned by the Lord, and especially the ones in the garden. He said, watch and pray, lest you enter in to temptation. And they did not listen, and they kept falling asleep, you know. And he had warned them that the prince of the power of the air, the prince of darkness, was among them. And they were led into temptation that even though Christ foresaw it, he did not treat them as if it was a done fact. So it shows you often God's foreknowledge does not interfere with what he's saying. You know, he still warned them not to to prepare themselves, that they'd not enter into temptation. They were to, like Jesus said, lead us not into temptation. It meant that it was God's intention for Peter and them to stumble, you know, during this period of trying. But every one of them did. And it did fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah when God said, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will flee. And all of them forsook him. The 11 forsook him and fled. And they were offended because of fear. See, they weren't offended at his person. They knew who he was. They believed who he was. Many of the disciples left him because they were offended at his person. When he preached certain messages, remember it says many followed him. And when he implied they had to drink his blood and eat his body, and that he was the Son of God, the bread that came down from heaven, they stopped following him. See, they assumed he was going to be a king and a Messiah, you know. They didn't understand he was claiming to be the Word of God. And that was offensive to Jews. And Jesus knew this was coming. And it said, and they all were offended at him and departed and did not follow him no more. But Jesus said, I saw this. And no one can come to me lest the Father draws them. So he was saying that the Father had not revealed to them yet who he was. And when he began to tell them, they got offended at his words, and they would not accept what he was telling them. They resisted his words. And that's why he looked to the 12 and said, will you forsake me also? And Peter, answering for them, said, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life, and we know who you are. You are the Christ, the Anointed One. They hadn't wavered. These others had. So even though they failed in their temptation, they did not apostatize. And Jesus, I remember Peter wept bitterly, and they all scattered. And but Jesus restored them, you know, after his resurrection. He sought them out. And they repented. And they waited for him. They were offended because this demonic spirit of Satan came, and they weren't prepared for him. And so again, this can happen to Christians. If you're not prepared, you may find yourself saying like Peter. Remember, Peter pulled the sword out when they come to take Jesus. He was very bold. And he said, we'll die with him. Thomas said, let us go and die with him. They meant it. They thought, if we have to defend him and die, we will. But they underestimated the prince of the power of the air. They underestimated the spirit of fear. So within hours, Jesus went from chopping a serpent's ear off and ready to die to denying before a teenage girl that he even knew the Lord, because this demonic fear had taken them over. He said, this is his hour, the hour of darkness. And Satan personally entered the garden to test Jesus again, as he did in the beginning. And Peter was nothing for him. He was easy prey, because Peter did not listen and pray and watch like Jesus wanted. And Jesus did. And he was prepared for what was happening and been prepared. And the angel strengthened him to go on. But they were restored, you know, and brought back. But many who reject the gospel or who backslide because they are offended at the word or they care what people think, you don't find the same illustrations given. See? You find that the disciples were afraid because of demonic fear that came upon them that they were not prepared for. But these other disciples and people, they walked away because they didn't want to suffer. And they were offended at God's word. Because they really didn't understand what Christianity was. They'd been lied to, many of them. Many of them told a false Christianity. You know, just accept Jesus and everything will be wonderful. And now you're a king's kid and God's going to bless you and make you happy. And he's going to fulfill all your prayers and dreams. And the scripture never taught no such thing. The false teachers and the false prophets are promising people what God himself did not promise them. Everything else in your life as a Christian that you know can be taken and God has not promised you it won't be. Having food and raiment, he said, therewith be content. And if he wants you to die for him, you may be starved to death. That may be your martyrdom. You may not even have that. So he's saying be content. And he said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures where men break through and steal. He was saying, you know, he already spoke on the subject. He already said what? He said, if you follow me, I will never leave nor forsake you. That's what he promised at all costs. If you stay with me, I will either deliver you out of the temptation or I will deliver you in it. I will either give you grace to be removed and escape it or I will give you the grace or the ability to endure it. That's what he promised us. And see, many people have been given a false gospel, false assurances that God has not always promised. You know, he's promised us that in the world we will have problems. It rains on the just and on the unjust. It means life happens. Tragedy happens to both. Sorrows and pain happen to all. It's a part of the human lot, whether you're Christian or not. We've just been given grace and the ability to endure what God gives us. If we follow him and obey him, then we can look at the scripture that God causes all things to work together for good if we're following him. All things do not work together for good to the backslider and the carnal and the lukewarm and the worldly. It works together for their destruction, not for their good. And so we need to understand that. So they forsook him, but they were restored. But many who turn away from the Lord and apostatize, God turns away from them. And the spirit walks away from them. And again, unless God gives them repentance, they can't be saved. And he said they could not be renewed to repentance, some of them. See, that's God's business, to do as he pleases. He said, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will harden whom I will harden. That's God's right and ability to decide this, not ours. Okay, go to Jeremiah. Chapter 12, scripture y'all hear me use every now and then, verse 5. If you have run with the footmen, and he's talking to the prophet Jeremiah, and they have wearied you or worn you out, then how can you contend with the horses or the horsemen? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted, they've wearied you, then what will you do at the flooding of the Jordan? He was basically saying, if you can't fight foot soldiers, how are you going to handle the chariots and the horsemen? You know, if you can't endure when there's no open warfare and persecution, what are you going to do when the flood, when all hell breaks loose? You know, when the enemy comes in as an army. See, the rhetorical answer is you will not, you know. You hear people, I've heard many people tell me over the years, you know, they know enough about the Bible to know not to take the mark of the beast. Big deal. You know, and they say, well, I know one thing, just whatever it takes, I'm not going to take the 666. And I always shock them because I say, no, most likely you will beg for it. You will beg for it. Because you can't serve the Lord now when you're not persecuted. And because you're worried about what your friends and family say. What do you think is going to happen? When it's going to be 10 times worse and the spirit of fear comes upon you and God ain't there to help you. You will beg for it. See, you won't have the willpower in yourself. And God may not grace you. See? So there ain't no guarantees. You may think you will. See, Peter, when he stood and he said, though all forsake you, I will not. And he meant it. He meant it, didn't he? And it's interesting. He's the one that Jesus goes to after the resurrection. He was the biggest bragger and the boldest of them all, and he fell. And Jesus goes back 3 times and asks him, do you love me? And he was getting a little annoyed with this. Well, this was the one who bragged in front of the others. He looked around and said to John and the others and Thomas, even if they, I won't. Can you imagine this? They must have looked at him. That was what he was saying. They'll all forsake you. Not me. And so Jesus comes. And it's interesting. Jesus gives him a message before they enter into the temptation. And he says, Peter, before the rooster or the cock crows, 3 times you'll have denied me. And he said, but when you're converted. Isn't this interesting? He used the word converted. When you're changed. When you've repented, strengthen the brethren. Why did he tell him that? Because you fell the most. You were the strongest. You were the one who told everybody you were bigger and braver and stronger than everybody. So you're very capable of restoring those who didn't fall as far as you did. You know? Peter was the first to say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, what? Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. See? So he was saying, you're capable. Restore. See, Peter would have been ready to go back to the others, John being the youngest, and say, don't feel that bad. I was a lot worse. So see, that's what he said. When you're converted, strengthen the brethren. You'll be capable. You'll be able to do this. I'll give you a paraphrase of my own, and you'll understand this, of this verse here. Relating to being offended with the Lord, being afraid to suffer for Him, the consequences of being a Christian. If you are bothered by sarcastic remarks of being a holier-than-thou, legalistic, or too narrow of a Christian, or just offended at mere words, you know, if these things bother you, how will you do when you lose your jobs and your friends and your families for your Christianity? Or maybe one day, your life. Isn't that interesting? What we're seeing is, if you can't endure now these little quibbles of your feelings being hurt and your pride being hurt, how do you think you're going to fare if it gets worse? Say, you're not going to, you know. Again, it's like faith. You're not going to have mountain-moving faith if you've never moved an anthill. You're not going to climb no mountain. And you can't even climb a hill in Hawaii, you know. See, God is saying, use common sense, you know. So if you can't deal with the normal part of being a Christian, what is the normal part of being a real Christian? You must bear the reproaches of Christ daily. That you must live the Christian life, and automatically the world and the flesh and the devil will oppose you and will hate you, and they will not like you. Once they see who you are and who you represent, they will be offended at you, and they will offend you. And they will speak and say all manner of evil against you. They'll call you a religious fanatic. Narrow-minded, legalistic, too holy. See, they'll use these terms. And they're going to be professing Christians that do this. You know. And they're going to separate from your company. Remember, Jesus told disciples they're going to put you out of the synagogues. Well, they'll put us out of the churches. Or they won't let us in. You know, once you start teaching the truth, they're going to say, you ain't going to be invited to speak. You're not going to be like Billy Graham, a special prophet with honor. You know, you're not going to be in the in religious group because you're going to be offensive. The true gospel offends. Let's close there. Father, in Jesus' name, help us, Lord, not to be offended at your word and at your person, that you have warned us and told us that we would have tribulations, we would have troubles for serving you, and we were not to fear man, but we would have boldness and get your strength and ability to resist them with wisdom that they cannot oppose, with sound teaching. Give us wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen.